Revelation chapter 22, for our text today, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing, or the health, of the nations. Verse 14, blessed are they which do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Human history began in the Garden of Eden and will end, if you would, in the garden-like city of the New Jerusalem. And so we see Revelation ending where Genesis began, that is, in a garden. For this New Jerusalem, as we studied previously last week, it's an amazing city, unlike anything we've seen thus far. It's a garden city. And in this garden city of the New Jerusalem, something intrigues me, something catches my eye, something jumps out at me as I read this description in our text today. And that is, there seems to be a transplanting. A transplanting of the tree of life, which was seen initially in the Garden of Eden, in the first chapters of the book of Genesis. And now the tree of life appears at the end of Revelation. And so, it seems as though there's this transplanting. The Lord taking the tree of life from the Garden of Eden and placing it in the garden-like city of the New Jerusalem. It could be said that the Bible is the story of three trees. The first tree is the tree of life. A tree that, as our text tells us, provides health for people. A tree that maintains life. A tree that is excellent. The tree of life mentioned there in the first chapters of the book of Genesis, at the beginning of human history. The second tree that is prominent in the scriptures is also introduced to us in the opening chapters of Genesis. It's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That tree was also in the Garden of Eden. And that was the tree, perhaps you recall there in Genesis chapter 2, right around verse 17. That was the tree that God said to Adam and Eve, hey, you can eat of any tree. You can do whatever you wish. All things I've created for you to enjoy. But there's one tree that you mustn't eat of. For the day that you eat of it, thou shalt surely die. And that is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, some people will ask you as a believer. They ask me as a pastor, wait a minute, why would God put a tree that would be forbidden by him from them to eat from? Why would he put it there in the first place? Because most all of you know the story. Man ended up eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the forbidden fruit. And it doomed him. It damned him. He began to die physically from that moment, and he would end up dying eternally without a divine intervention, the gift of salvation. So people say, it doesn't seem that God would be righteous or fair in putting that temptation there. Hey, listen. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil had to be for a couple of reasons. First of all, because it provides a choice. See, God is love, and God wants a loving relationship with you, with me, with all of humanity. But love demands a choice. Forced love is rape. And God declares that He is not going to spiritually rape anyone. He won't force His love on any person. Therefore, He will give each person a choice. Because love, true love, always demands choice. And God declares, I love you, Adam. I love you, Eve. I love you, humanity. Because I love you and I want to live with you in a love relationship, I will provide the opportunity for you to dump me, to reject me, to turn your back on me. And you can do so by eating from this tree. That will be a sign to you and a sign to me that you want to break up, that you want a divorce, that you want to walk away, that you don't want to maintain this loving relationship with me. So God provided a tree there because without that tree, there would be no choice. Without choice, love is questionable. Love is impossible. True love demands a choice. If Tambo chose to marry me, but there was no other male on the face of the earth, there was no other guy anywhere, I would wonder, does she love me or is she just putting up with me because her options are real limited? But once another guy shows up, once Arnold Schwarzenegger's on the scene, then I say, hey, there's other possibilities and she chose me. And that's love, you see. So love demands a choice. But secondly, most of you know that, but here's something I want you to think through with me today. Love demands a choice, but secondly, it provides this tree an opportunity for man to continue on in complete dependency on the Father. How so? The reason the tree was called the knowledge of good and evil is because man up to that time only knew good. Because he was linked to God. When man came across a problem, let's say, he would be forced because he didn't know good and evil. He didn't know right and wrong. He didn't have that understanding. And so he would simply say, Father, how should I navigate this situation? How should I deal with this problem? What's your plan for this, Lord, here in the garden? How is this done? What should we do? What's the right way to handle that? And there was a dependency. Now listen, gang. There was a dependency. And that's what God desired. For there to be a complete dependency of man on God. God wanted man to be dependent on Him, not because God wanted to cripple man, but because God wanted to bless man big time. But once man eats of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he then says, I now know what's good and I know what's evil. Remember what happened? They ate of the tree, they ate of the fruit, and then they hid from God because they were naked. And God said, who told you that you were naked? How did you know that? The idea is, now man knew what is good and what is evil, and that's always a dangerous thing. What do you mean? It makes man independent. And that's why Paul the Apostle would say about knowledge, the knowledge of good and evil, knowledge. He says, watch out, knowledge puffs up. Because once I think I know what's good and what's evil, once I think I know how to do this or how to do that, I will no longer be calling out to the Father in desperation, relying on the Father. But I'll say, hey, I've got my knowledge, I know what's good, and I know what's evil. And thus I become independent. And when I become independent, then I'm relying on my strength because I know what's good. I know how to do that. I know what they're thinking or how to handle that situation or what, and consequently, I then become independent from God. And now I'm cut off from all the resources and anointings and blessings and giftings and love. And now I'm doing my own thing. one of the most dangerous places to be is in a theological seminary. One of the most dangerous places to be is in a place where you are getting knowledge, because if you're not careful, you'll be eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, I know what's good, I know what's evil, I know my theology, I've got it all down perfectly, and you're no longer in communion with God. You're no longer walking with Him in the cool of the day like God wanted you to, you see. You're independent. Now, here's the deal. The tree of life, man never ate of the tree of life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's what I want. Knowledge of good and evil. He ate of that tree and he died. And the same thing can happen to you and to me. Oh, not eternally, we're saved. But what can happen? The same thing can happen to us if we begin to say, I know what to do. I know how to handle that situation. I don't need to check in with God constantly. Now, here's what I want you to see today. I'm almost done, believe it or not. And I know you don't. But here's what I want you to see, because the Lord spoke to my heart Wednesday night late in a very profound way about this matter. Even you and I, who love the Lord, who've been walking with the Lord, are so vulnerable to beginning to say, hey, I no longer have to be in communion or close communication because I've walked with the Lord for years. I know my Bible. I've got the theology. I've had history, experiences, and I know what to do. But you know what will happen to me? You know what will happen to you? Late Wednesday night, late, the Lord spoke to my heart about something which I was needing to decide, to make a decision on. And I was already moving in a certain direction because I felt I had already heard the word of the Lord previously. I already felt I had the heart. And I was going in this direction when the Lord stopped me dead in the tracks with this scripture. Would you flip back to the first book of the Bible, to Genesis chapter 22? Genesis chapter 22. It's a story that most of you are very, very well aware of. It's a glorious picture of Abraham and Isaac picturing, illustrating the Father, our God, and His Son, Jesus Christ. Abraham was told, Genesis 22, to take his son, verse 2, his only son, to the land of Moriah and offer him for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Take your son, your only son, Abraham, and offer him as a burnt offering, as a sacrifice unto me in the land of Moriah, in the mount that I shall show thee of, which is Mount Calvary, Golgotha, the highest peak of Mount Moriah there in Jerusalem. It peaks, it pinnacles at a place that we know today as Calvary, where God's only son would be crucified, sacrificed for you and me. Take your son, your only son. And Abraham heard the word of the Lord. It must have been shocking to him. It was a real chagrin, no doubt, in his heart, in his mind. It was a bummer. Take my son? You're not that kind of God, he must have thought that day. That's paganite kind of practice, Canaanite kind of custom. You're not really that way, are you? But he knew he heard the word of the Lord. So he took him. 3 days they journeyed to Moriah, what we call now Jerusalem, to the top part, which is Calvary or Golgotha. And there he lays his son on the altar that he had built. And he has a knife in his hand, Abraham does. And he's ready to plunge the knife through the chest of his son. When suddenly, verse 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And the angel of the Lord said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God. The angel of the Lord, with Abraham having knife in hand, interrupted him and said, stop. Stop. Who is the angel of the Lord? For you that know your Old Testament stories, perhaps you recall the angel of the Lord is what we call a Christophany. That is, it's an appearance of Jesus Christ himself before he came as the babe of Bethlehem. So it's Jesus. It's the Lord, Jesus Christ, in his pre-incarnate form, who says, "Stop, Abraham!" Now, this is what I want you to see. This is what the Lord really dealt with me on Wednesday evening. It's so important. Abraham heard the word of the Lord, "Take your son and offer him as a sacrifice unto me." Okay, I don't understand. It seems to be confusing, chagrining, depressing. I don't understand, but I've heard your word. Okay, and off he went that day, and he went to Moriah. He heard the word of the Lord, and he was obedient to it. But the Lord spoke a second time and said, "Stop." Abraham must have thought, how odd, what is God doing? We know from this side of the cross in history, we know a picture was being painted. An illustration was being developed of showing God offering his son, Jesus Christ, on the same mountain, only he didn't stop the knife. The knife went through as Christ hung on the tree where he died for you and he died for me. But Abraham must have thought, what? And here's what the Lord is speaking to my heart, and I hope to some of you as well. You no doubt have heard the word of the Lord clearly. And you're going off in a certain direction, saying, okay, I got it. I may not understand it, but Lord, I've heard your word. I was in a Bible study or at a prayer meeting or having devotions or whatever it might be, and I heard your word. And it's in my heart, and I wrote it down in my journal, and I'm carrying it out, Lord. But you've got to realize that this thing that the Lord wants from you and wants from me is a constant communion. If Abraham didn't hear the second word, he would have made a grave mistake. It would have been a bloody mess. And why do Christians, why do we make bloody messes and why do we make grave mistakes? Because we heard the word of the Lord, but wait, the Lord speaks again and again and again, and it can seem to be contradictory. It can seem to be in exactly the opposite direction that we were moving in previously. But that's the way it is with the tree of life. In a relationship of love, you've got to hear from the Lord daily, constantly, because that's what he wants from you and from me is love, relationship, not saying, got the word, I'm on my way, because it might change the very next day. And if I'm not tuned in, I can make a grave mistake. If Abraham said, I've already heard the word 3 days previously, now I'm going to do this no matter what, boom, his son would have been killed needlessly. A grave mistake would have been made that day. And I wonder how many bloody messes I've made that didn't need to be made. How many grave mistakes I've done that could have been avoided had I said, Lord, I've got to walk with you moment by moment. I've got to hear from you constantly. It's not enough to go on what you spoke 3 days ago to me. You want a vital, vibrant, real, continual relationship. That's what you're desiring. That's what you're asking of me. That's what you're offering to me is a step by step. And Lord, help me not to make a bloody mess, a grave mistake. And you might sit here and say, you know, Pastor John, it's amazing. I think I understand what you're saying. And it seems to me that I've made some grave mistakes. I made a bloody mess recently. I thought that I knew what to do based upon a previous word, a previous study, a previous understanding. And I went ahead and carried it out, but man, it's been a bloody mess, a grave mistake. Did I miss? Did I ignore the present word of the Lord? And if so, what does that mean? Listen, I said the Bible is the story of three trees. The first is the tree of life. Man never ate of the tree of life, interestingly enough, but we will in the New Jerusalem. The second was the tree of knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. I know what to do and I'll do what I think I should. I'll make my evaluation of them. I'll have my critique of her. I'll give my input there because I know what's good. I know what's evil after all. You see. Ooh, the knowledge of good and evil, independence and arrogancy. Whew. The second tree. And sometimes we can fall into that too. 3 days earlier, walking with the Lord, hearing from the Lord. 3 days later, when the Lord says, veer off in this direction, we say, no way, I already know what to do. I've already got my opinion about him, about her, about that. And it's written in stone. Last thing was written in stone was the law, folks. The old covenant. The new covenant is written on the fleshly tablets of the heart, people. The new covenant is the Holy Spirit guiding me day by day, moment by moment. It's what he wants from me. What if though I have, and indeed I have, made a bloody error, a grave mistake, then I go to the third tree, Jesus Christ. Listen, here's the good news. The good news is the third tree is the tree of Calvary. Acts chapter 5. Galatians chapter 3 speak of Christ hanging on the tree. That's the tree that covers my mistakes, that washes away my arrogancy, my sin. I have sinned, I know it, but Lord, you died for it, and now I'm free to continue on walking with you and hearing from you again. I need to, Lord. I'm tired of eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I need to hear you constantly. I'm tired of grave mistakes. And listen, the bloody mess that I almost made that evening, it would have proved to be a very bloody and wrong decision. Lord speaks to me as he speaks to you from his word, Genesis 22, and says, John, listen, you've got to stay current with me. You've got to be in touch and close, and you've got to really be constantly tuned in, because I can change directions on a dime, and I know what I'm doing, and you don't know. Walk with me, Johnny. That's what I want. I want your fellowship. I want your love. Talk to me, John, constantly. Don't go on the basis of what you know or think you know. Depend on me, John. Oh, Lord, I failed. I know, John, and that's why the bloody mess that you made, I shed my blood on the tree to cleanse you. But Lord, it was a grave mistake. Yes, I know a grave mistake was made, but Jesus Christ, after he offered the bloody sacrifice of his own body for the messes that we have made, he was buried, and 3 days later, he arose from the grave. What grave mistake have I made? What grave mistake have you made? Here's the good news. Jesus is alive, and he can redo what we wrongly did. He can restore the years that the locust has eaten. He can recover the lost liberty, the ruin, the agony. He can do it. I look at Peter. Peter said in Matthew 26, Jesus was talking to the boys saying, I'm going to Jerusalem to die. Peter said, listen, Lord, even if everyone else forsakes you, I will not forsake you. He said, and he goes on to say in Matthew 26, right around verse 43 or so, he goes on to say, I will die with you. And you know the story. Only hours later, Peter finds himself there by the fire, denying Jesus Christ, denying him. Here he made this grand statement, I know who I am, I know what I can do, knowledge of good and evil, you can count on me. And then he ends up denying him greatly. A bloody mess. He curses, he swears. He does exactly what he didn't want to, what he ought not to. He made a big goof, a real gaffe. What does Jesus do? Jesus dies for that sin. He comes back from the dead. And then he appears to Peter in John 21. And what does he say? Peter, he says in John 21, as Peter was by the Sea of Galilee, Peter, he says, listen, Peter, when you are old, they're going to stretch you out. They're going to carry you. They're going to take you away. They're going to carry you off. And John tells us this Jesus spoke signifying, declaring what manner of death Peter would die. What manner of death would Peter die? He would die upside down, crucified. Peter initially says, wait, here's a 30-year-old fisherman that says, wait a minute. Well, what about this man? As he points to John, who is standing right there. And Jesus says to Peter, What is that to you concerning John? You follow me, Pete. Why did Jesus say those words to Peter? Listen. Not to freak Peter out. Not to say, okay, Peter, you blew it. You denied me. You're going to die, buddy. You're going to die. They're going to carry you off and crucify you upside down. Huh. No. What Jesus was saying, Peter, even though Peter didn't understand at that moment, Peter, listen, he would say, what did you want to do? You said that you would die for me, and you made a grave mistake. But guess what? I'm going to give you the opportunity. You will die for me. The very thing that you wanted to do and didn't, the very thing that you so badly blew, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do it in due season, Peter. It's going to take some years when you're old. You got to grow a bit, Peter. You got to mature some. But you are going to do that which you really wanted to. You will die for me. And Peter knew from that time on that he would die a martyr's death. And as he gets older and writes his letters, you can hear in the letters, you can feel his heart, you can sense in his words that he was a man that would glory in the opportunity now to do what he previously didn't. He was glorying knowing that his departure, he writes, was soon at hand. And indeed, he did die in martyrdom, upside down on a cross, crucified. So this is the good news. That yes, there's the tree of life. Man rejected that. There's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's what we're prone to do. Well, I know what to do. I know about him. I know what that means. We give our opinions. We make our evaluations. We think we know so much. We're so arrogant. I mess up so badly. And the Lord says, but there's a third tree, John, I provided for you. The cross. The bloody mess that you made is forgiven. The grave mistake that you made, I've risen, and I can make all things new if you let me now. The word of the Lord for Applegate today is this. Precious people, gang, brothers and sisters, fellow sojourners, pilgrims on the path to heaven, listen, you got to keep current with the Lord. You can't rely on what you got yesterday, last week, a year ago. If you're not hearing what the Spirit would say to you today, like Abraham, you could end up making a big mistake, plunging a knife through, making a bloody mess, really goofing badly. You need the Lord. I need the Lord. Turn away from the tree of knowledge, what you think you know, what I think I've sorted out, what we think we've got down. Turn away from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And begin to feast of that heavenly tree, the tree of life. Life in the Spirit, where we say, Lord, what do you want from me this morning? Before I make my plans for the afternoon, what's your agenda, Lord? How should I handle that 5-year-old son of mine, or that 2-year-old daughter, or what should I do about this relationship, about this guy that I'm dating? Or Lord, what do you want me to do at work Monday morning? Help me not to go on automatic pilot because I prayed a year ago whether I should take the job and you told me a year ago I should. But Lord, am I now missing what you're doing presently because I think I know? I need to hear the word again, now, presently. I need to hear the word for today in this situation, lest I plunge the knife through thinking I'm doing your will. I heard the word 3 days ago, boom! Lord, keep me from a grave mistake, from a bloody mess. Church, Applegate family, Brother Rick and Gail, pray constantly. Lynn, pray. I don't care what the Lord showed you yesterday. You got to hear from Him and walk with Him today. Doesn't matter what you know, Lynn. It matters what He is directing you to do at this time. In your heart, through the Word, be in communion. Bill Durfee, be in communion. You've done your thing a long time. You have a lot of history. You're wise. You've got it wired. But let me tell you, you're in danger. Because when you're as experienced as you are in what you do, like as me too in my position, we can go on automatic pilot. And we can miss the present word and direction of the Lord. You know what I mean? It's true. Got to stay in touch. I got to stay in touch. I've made too many bloody messes. Listen. Ron, hear the word of the Lord. New company, all that stuff, you know. I know he showed you things, but you got to hear from him presently because you don't know what he has for you in store for tomorrow. Might be a whole new venture. Might be to continue on in exactly the same manner, but you need to hear the word of the Lord. You who love the Bible, I'm so thankful to pastor a group like this, but let us not be those who take knowledge intellectually and no longer seek the Lord intimately. Knowledge puffs up. The knowledge of good and evil leads to death. It's life. It's relationship. It's dependency. It's what now, Lord, you see. Let he who have ears to hear what the Spirit would say to the church at Applegate today. And when we get to heaven, folks, and it won't be long, guess what tree is not there? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. And just the tree of life hanging by the river that we can eat from a fresh fruit each month. We'll talk about that Wednesday evening. And keep in perfect health, in total harmony with our King, our friend, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But it doesn't have to wait just till then. Heaven can be in your heart today if you'll choose to eat of the tree of life, His direction. Let's pray. Father, I would ask that we might be those who would hear the present word, that would be tuned in, that would not be eating of the tree of knowledge arrogantly. Lord, I've made mistakes, bloody messes and grave, grave mistakes. And how I thank you for the tree of Calvary. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. And thank you for coming out of the grave. Where now you can do with me what you did with Peter. You do see us through. You give us the second opportunity. You straighten out the matter if we'll listen to you and receive from you. Jesus, you're awesome in that way. And we as a group of people come together in this amphitheater once again and say, Lord, we need you today. We need you today. We need you today. Keep us, Lord, in that place of complete dependency, of constant communion. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
That concludes our study. We pray that the Lord has spoken to you through it. A catalog of the hundreds of teachings by Pastor John is available. If you'd like a copy, simply call us at 1-888-544-4858 or write to us. Our address is Post Office Box 1090, Jacksonville, Oregon 97530. May the Lord richly bless you.